Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Man, Dirty, we didn't have to scrap the whole open of the show. We got so much coming down. I mean, I think we'll find out that AB will sign today. I feel like everything that's happened.
Everything's happened but Antonio Brown signing with somebody today.
We'll find out Antonio, the Cleveland Browns have signed Antonio Brown. Like, everything is dropping. We'll get to it all. Remember, today is a big day right here, a sneaky big day. Because we have three guys from the Houston Texans, Clint, that are very, very important to this team that aren't the ones you think of. Not like we'll have Friday, Deshaun, Bill O'Brien, and J.J. Watt. But Will Fuller, Titus Howard, Bradley Roby are hugely important for this football team. They'll be on, and we'll carry them right here on Sports Radio 610.
Not quite the superstars that you have in Deshaun and JJ, but definitely, I mean, hugely important to the success of the Texans this year and a big part of the backbone of the organization and what's going to allow these guys to take the next step if they indeed do.
Yeah. So we'll get to them. They'll be right here on Sports Radio 610. But let's start. So there's one huge national story. And then one Houston-centric story. So let's start here. And Clint, Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron got a 20-game suspension for starting the dance/melee Sunday between the Astros and A's. That's first reported by Bob Nightingale of USA Today. But 20 games. Like, I don't have a problem with 20 games. I'm surprised that he got that many games. But I got no issue with it at all.
I'm not surprised, all the situation, the circumstances of what's going on in Major League Baseball right now. One, before we even get into the COVID-19 component of this thing, and that the league is first and foremost, they are committed to the social distancing aspect and completely eliminating any kind of confrontation, whether it's head coach and a manager and umpire or it's player to player, and damn sure when it's bench clearing brawls near a dugout where you've got 20 to 30, maybe even 40 guys in a 15-yard circle, and they're all huffing and puffing on each other. That aspect of it makes it tenfold worse. But, Joe, when I look at it, there is no place in sports across the board ever at practice, at a workout, at a scrimmage game, during an all-out in-season game, postseason. I don't care what the setup is of that particular outing. There's no place in professional sports, in sports period, for managers or coaches to instigate push buttons on players to the point of where they feel the need to charge the dugout. So, look, 20 games, I'm not surprised with it given the COVID component of this thing. And I'm completely happy with it, given the fact that I just think there's no place in sports for coaches, authority figures, managers of any way, of any kind, instigating this type of incident. So I like it, man.
713-572-4610. You got any problems with hitting Coach Alex Cintron being suspended 20 games? He got suspended 20 games for instigating the whatever that was Sunday between the Astros and A's. Yeah, it's the biggest suspension by for a coach outside of Pete Rose, who got suspended 30 games for bumping an umpire. So that's what I'm just saying. 20, just baseball doesn't normally go that aggressively. So that and like I said, I got no issue with it. I think he was an ass. Can I just be honest? He was an ass and deserved anything he got because, as you said, the component that is left out is Little Shot Rob has been very, very serious about, hey, we don't want any kind of brawls, any kind of fights, any kind of things about these like guys coming together. We already are struggling with the way that people look at us and view us when it comes to COVID and how we're doing things. And now y'all asses is out here getting in a fight because you didn't said something or started something as a hitting coach.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I get that component about it. So I got no problem.
Well, what did Joe Kelly get? Eight?
Joe got eight.
Joe got eight thrown at him, and now he pushed several buttons that could have very easily resulted in a player-on-player confrontation or a bench-clearing brawl, anything in between. It very easily at any point in time with the incident with Brantley at first base, the incident with Correa, the incident with Bregman. So just for pushing buttons, player-on-player, Joe Kelly got eight. I'm not surprised that a hitting coach stepping out of the dugout, pulling up his pant legs as if he were in a stance ready to fight somebody.
And then backing off and pushing other people in front of him.
Right. Yeah,
I think I have got a couple of the games.
The 20 games is light in my opinion. And if you really look at this thing in totality. So we're talking about a former, this guy's won a World Series as a player. I mean, he spent 9 years in the league as a player, and now he's been 2 years in the league with the Astros as a coach. I mean, he's won a World Series. This guy knows, you know, how you're supposed to act as a player, how you're supposed to act as a coach. You got to believe that the one thing that Rob Manfred has done a good job of is relaying the message to players, the Players Association and the coaches, that they're not going to deal with any of the face-to-face altercations, arguments, or anything of that sort. They're gonna drop the hammer on these guys. So there's no excuse for what he did and the 20 games I can live with it.
Laureano got six games.
He
got six games, which to me feels a little strong.
That's the
especially
one,
since Joe Kelly got eight.
That's the one you feel for. And I mean, because he's a guy that for the most part was handling being hit three times in a series by Astros pitcher. And I know there's some background there with him being traded, being a former player. And the same guy thrown at him twice. But that's the guy you feel for. This is a guy that's going to first base. You and I talked about it yesterday. I thought he was handling it in a humorous way. I thought it was funny. I thought it was creative. And he's going to first base, staying inside the lines in terms of the rule book and the guidelines. And somebody out of the dugout pushes him to the extent where he feels the need to bull rush the dugout. That's the guy I feel for, man.
If you're just jumping in, Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach, got suspended 20 games for his involvement in the melee Sunday. I don't want to get on my horse, but I'll jump on it real quick.
Hold on, so.
Here's my problem. I got no problem with this. This thing. I'm good with it. 20 games, that's fine. You've got to send a message because safety is involved with this. You got to send a message that we hold coaches and management situations in a higher standard. So send the message. My problem is, when you going to start sending the message to these pitchers who throw at people on purpose? To me, there's no reason that Laureano should get six games and only two games less than what Joe Kelly did, and Joe Kelly is throwing 96 at someone's head. And it's not just about Joe Kelly. He's the most recent one. Any of these pitchers who throw at batters on purpose, there is a safety, a real serious safety component, just like this one is, a dangerous component. When are they going to start sending a message to these pitchers to stop throwing at people on purpose? That's my thing. If you want to send a message here, I'm cool with it. But also send a message to these pitchers to just say, Oh, no, we're not going to roll out here and just let you throw the ball at people on purpose.
It's going to take somebody in a situation where it's blatantly, you know, done on purpose. They're blatantly thrown at on purpose where everybody involved knows, and it hits. And it hits its target. And somebody gets injured.
Really injured.
In that situation for them to – because really, Joe Kelly got disciplined for what could have happened, right? And these guys are getting, you know, they're getting disciplined for 100% what did happen. What the two teams coming together and all the risk that goes along with it. So I can see the difference between the two, but I get your point. I just think with baseball's history, it's going to be a long time coming before somebody goes, all right, we're going to hit somebody hard enough to where it just is completely gone from the game. I just don't see that happen.
Yeah, we'll see. And they did it a little bit with Joe Kelly. I don't think people are going to be throwing at the Astros anymore because Joe Kelly got that many games. So I like that a bit. But if they're going to send a message here to coaches, I think they need to send a message to these pitchers who just throw at people on purpose and put people at risk.
I would say that they sent two pretty good messages. Yeah. 8 games for Joe Kelly. And I know you're still pissed off about it, but it's 8 games for Joe Kelly throwing a ball over Bregman's head and then 20 games for a coach stepping out of the dugout. I'm not mad at either one of those punishments. I think MLB set the tone in both directions.
And Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And then this is coming out from a lot of reports. Pat Forty throws out this report as well as the Big Ten is announcing that the fall is canceled, fall sports, including football, and that the league will attempt to play in the spring. We heard this yesterday about the Big Ten. Now we're hearing it today. Also, the Pac-12 and their officials are meeting today to make a decision on it. I would expect that we hear from the Pac-12 that they are going to move their season back and cancel it in the fall. This is a fear that we all had about college football.
Yeah, and it's real. It's real today. This is not an unnamed source, and sources say this is legitimately the Big Ten making the announcement that they're canceling fall football. The interesting part to me again is why would you not push the season back to late September like the SEC did, and then move from there? And then secondly, what are you going to do if the risk of COVID-19, which I'm not arguing. Some people believe they shouldn't play football. Okay, I get it. I understand why they're making the call, show. But do you not think playing two 10-plus game seasons in an 8-month span for 18 to 22-year-olds, you think that's going to be a good idea?
No.
I mean, that ain't a good idea either. There's going to be risk associated with that people are going to rip apart. So this is an interesting move by the Big Ten. Even though it's been being talked about over the last couple of days, this is a big move for the Big Ten because I just don't see how they don't just cancel the season altogether. The spring season, the spring league talk, to me, that doesn't make any sense either.
I want to hear what the plan is for these kids that are in school in terms of their scholarships. Do these fifth-year guys, do they get another year? Seniors, do they get another year of eligibility? What are you going to do with high school seniors who are supposed to come in? Like, that's –
how you handle the draft?
Yeah, how you handle the – all of that. I want to see how this occurs. The thing that is annoying to me is I hate that there's no leadership overall with this group because I think they're going to roll into a point where they make kids make a bad decision. Because now what we've been hearing before this today is, we're going to have kids out of these Big Ten schools just try to transfer to the schools that may continue to play. Because the SEC and the ACC, it's going to take a hell of a lot for them to finally give in. Those two conferences, most to give in. And then they're going to try to transfer, and then you're going to have some kids making terrible decisions because everybody can't transfer to all of those schools out there. I just wish there was a governing body that if one league is going to cancel – they all do because they're going to – these kids are bound to make awful decisions coming up that can affect them down the line.
Well, the ACC has already come out and said they're moving – they're full steam ahead. Their plan is to play.
SEC is. Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah, so we'll see. So a lot of crazy news coming out in the sports world today. But remember, we have 3 guys from the Texans that are very important that will be speaking right here on Sports Radio 610. And let's get into one of them. Will Fuller, he may be the X factor in putting the Texans in the class of the Chiefs and the Ravens. We'll discuss why coming up next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stern and the show.
Third down and five as Watson sets and now throws. It's Fuller! Will Fuller into the end zone! His third touchdown today!
Ah, well, lovely to hear Marv Albert's son.
You hear them fans, boy?
Yeah.
Man, I missed that right there. Yeah. Man. Come
Why'd
on.
You just say that, man. That's a downer, man.
Damn we'll it, I missed that.
We're going to hear the fakeness. We'll hear some fake noise
coming
in.
Yeah, we'll hear some fake noise. Some white noise out there.
Yeah, that's Will Fuller, man. And I believe it, man. An X factor, a guy we've talked about. I think I've said it before. He could be the straw that stirs the drink. Well, I think him or Randall Cobb could be the straw that stirs the drink. But to me, Clint, if he's healthy and he can play, he is a person that can take this offense to the step and the level of, I think, the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, look, Randall Cobb is a guy that should help Deshaun Watson develop, which should help this team overall. When you talk about Will Fuller, Will Fuller is a guy straw that stirs the drink is extremely accurate. I mean, this is a guy that has phenomenal chemistry with Deshaun Watson. I mean, we're talking about a passer rating of 104.3 with Will Fuller on the field and 89.8 without him. You're talking about a QBR of 77.3 with Fuller on the field and a 64.4 with Fuller off the field. Ultimately, when you start talking about QBRs and passer ratings, there's one quarterback over the last 3 years that's better than Watson when Fuller's on the field, and that's Pat Mahomes. I mean, that's the impact that Will Fuller.
And that's been the best offense on the planet.
Yeah,
the Chiefs.
Yeah, oh, thank you. That is awesome.
Yeah, they're breaking ground. I mean, they're doing things that nobody's ever seen, and that Kansas City offense has people talking about franchise already. But when Will Fuller is on the field with Deshaun Watson over the last 3 years, in a sense of QBR, there is only one quarterback that's better, and that's Pat Mahomes. Again, that's just a small example of, man, this duo of Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller is extremely powerful, right? This is a guy that he's – not only are they really good together, not only is the chemistry through the roof, Will Fuller's in a contract year. He's one of three receivers right now in the NFL that's playing on a fifth-year option. He's got to be motivated, whether it's the contract or he looks at that – playing on his fifth-year option as disrespectful. Either way you look at it, this is a big-time year for Will Fuller. He should be more motivated now than he's ever been. And when Fuller's on the field, the Houston Texans are as explosive as any offense in the game. And that's precisely what the Texans have to do to take the next step, is be that explosive for 16, 18, 19 games instead of – six or seven.
It's scary how important Will Fuller can be. As we're talking about Will Fuller, he is the guy on this offense that can take this offense, if he's allowed to and he stays healthy, can take this offense into the realm of the Chiefs and the Ravens, who score last year at a high rate. As you said, man, I think that's a perfect thing. Randall Cobb can help Deshaun within game and with a lot of different things in the middle of the field as a safety valve. This dude here could scare the hell out of opponents, could scare the hell out of defensive coordinators, help the running game in a major way, because if Will Fuller is out there and he's right, not even if he didn't have Brandon Cooks on the other side, who's another speed guy, but Will Fuller's out there, you cannot have a corner alone on him. Because Deshaun is willing to throw the deep ball, and he can. You can't cover him with one guy in today's rules.
You better have a disciplined deep defender on the field. No eyes in the backfield. No jumping underneath routes. You better have a disciplined center fielder when Will Fuller's on the field. And Randall Cobb is a guy show that he'll keep a defense honest. He'll give Deshaun Watson answers versus pressure. Right. He'll keep the chains moving. That's Randall Cobb. He'll keep your offense ahead of the chain and give you options and opportunities to call shot plays and to get creative. That's who Randall Cobb is. Will Fuller is the guy that takes this offense from
a home run,
a playoff caliber offense to holy cow, what are we going to do now? You can't take a defender out of center field because this guy can get over the top. I mean, obviously, look, we're obviously avoiding the elephant in the room in this conversation with the injury history. We beat that horse to death. Everybody that's a Texans fan understands how important it is for Will Fuller to stay healthy. But this guy that we're going to hear from today, right here on Sports Radio 610 for the first time, I think this is the first time this year.
Yep.
Right? I mean, this is a guy that when he's healthy, you're gonna have a hard time finding one individual outside of Will Fuller that's more important. I'm sorry, outside of Deshaun Watson that has more of an impact on this football team. Obviously, J.J. Watt's the other one. Those two guys right there, when they're out, there's a noticeable difference. That's how powerful Will Fuller is with this offense, man. And it's a big year for him.
And Deshaun knows it. As we're talking about, Will Fuller could be the guy that takes this offense to the rim of the Chiefs or the Ravens. Here is his quarterback who spoke to the media, I think last Saturday, maybe two Saturdays ago. He spoke to the media, and you can hear it in his voice and him speaking about the potential of the season that Will Fuller can have.
Will's going to ball out. I mean, Will's going to be one of the best receivers in the league. So, you know, he's came back a lot stronger, a lot faster, really good, very confident in himself and what he did over the offseason. I'm very confident in what he can do. And we all are as an organization, as a team. There's no doubt that Will can take that role and do, you know, great things with it.
That role. You talked about things that Will Fuller has to prove. If Will Fuller is a real dude, then it's got to be, hey, man, I miss my guy, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, Hop was my dude. You know, that was my guy, man, I learned a lot from him. But it ain't dead. Like, I'm still here. We still got a number one receiver. I am still here. That should be a big level of motivation for Will Fuller, that he can hang on and that they can still have not just – as good, but maybe a better passing game with him as the lead receiver.
Yeah, Will Fuller may not come as easy as it has in the past, because I tell you what, Tim Kelly, Bill O'Brien, however you want to couch that play caller situation last year, Deshaun Watson's ability to throw it, and then defense's willingness to just literally give DeAndre Hopkins so much attention that when Will Fuller was out there were times when it was a throw in the ocean. I mean, literally my old ass could have went out there and threw it to Will Fuller. He was that open and it was that easy of a read because of DeAndre Hopkins' presence. The thing is with DeAndre Hopkins gone, is now you've got layers where everything was based off of one guy before in terms of getting, say, Will Fuller over the top. If a middle safety even took a glance down at Hopkins running a shallow crossing route, Fuller was behind him. Now, Hopkins isn't going to be there, and you're not initially going to create that kind of attention on one guy opposite Will Fuller. But I'll argue that when you can layer the field with a shallow route, say 5 yards deep with Randall Cobb, and then you could give me a 15 to 20 yard dig or a 15 to 20 yard deep crossing route by Brandon Cooks, and then you got a deep post over the top with Will Fuller, you can layer the field at three different levels where the defense doesn't have a chance. You literally cannot unless you've got three cover guys that can just simply blanket those three receivers man-to-man, you cannot cover it. It's impossible to cover those types of schemes. So while you're not going to have that coverage dictator like DeAndre Hopkins, there still should be plenty opportunity to use Will Fuller's speed in a very similar way as Texans fans have seen in the past to get over the top. That dynamic of Will Fuller should not go away because Brandon Cooks is a big enough threat on the opposite side to get the attention.
I was going to say, Will Fuller's speed, his speed, and if it is used, can be a dictator in coverage. His speed can make others say, we cannot, because he's the home run threat to me. He is that's what makes defenses and offenses that are really, really good at different. When you got a home run threat, sometimes you ever watch the Patriots and think, my God, it seems like it takes so long for them. They got to go 10 play drives and they don't They just don't – they didn't have like a home run threat. Will Fuller's a home run threat that in any play can go the distance, and he's got a quarterback that's willing to throw it. That to me is – that to me can be a dictator of coverage where they're looking at him all the time saying – I mean, we got to have somebody over there. We got to have somebody over there. If that means Randall Cobb's going to be singled up, Cook's going to be singled up, David Johnson, Duke's going to be singled up. To me, there is maybe not to the level of Hopkins, but his speed can be a dictator.
Yeah, you know, you're right. There's no doubt about it. Not can be, so it will be. I mean, it'll be a dictator of coverage in a sense of, like, if they're going to play cover three and have three deep defenders, that middle defender better not get his eyes in the backfield. Where before, that middle defender had his eyes on Hopkins and was like, I'm coming down if Hopkins comes across. I don't give a damn about who's deep. So, yeah, there's a certain extent. Yeah, they'll keep some guys deep to I mean, against the Texans, look, teams are going to come in here and go, hey, we got to stop the big ball over the top. Deshaun throws it really well. Cooks and Fuller run it really well. So they're going to stop the deep ball. And so from that extent, he will be a coverage dictator in terms of keeping a deep defender back, where I think Hopkins just did it to a whole different level where there was obvious openings everywhere else. But, yeah, Fuller's definitely a talent that can dictate some coverage.
All right. We're expecting to hear from several of the Texans, including wide receiver Will Fuller, who we were just talking about. But we're gonna hear from our basketball insider, former NBA GM Ryan McDonough, will join us next. And we will talk to him and see if he believes that James Harden really deserves to be in MVP consideration. That's all coming up next.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
The Rockets are taking it on the chin in right now. They're playing in the Orlando bubble, trailing to San Antonio in the third quarter, 80-64. No Harden today, no Eric Gordon, but Russ is back. And who is back with us on the line is our Radio.com insider, Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And watching this, it seems like the Rockets have an understanding of where they're going to be. And Mike D'Antoni is kind of messing with the lineup. No Harden today. No Westbrook in the game, already announced next week. So they're pretty confident of where they're going to be. The biggest level of concern for me, and my partner Clint keeps telling me, don't be concerned. Don't be concerned. And that is P.J. Tucker shooting. P.J. Tucker has to be on the floor for the Rockets. And coming into today's game, he is 9-for-30 from threes in the Orlando bubble. How concerned should Rockets fans be with P.J. Tucker shooting?
Well, it's a great question, Clint, in the show. Always good to be on with you guys. I think P.J. Tucker is going to need to knock down open looks for the Rockets to advance in the Western Conference playoffs, especially those spot-up corner threes. As you guys know, that is Houston's system. P.J. Tucker and another wing, you know, hold both corners for Houston, and they don't leave. And so, as you know, in the playoffs, teams are going to load up on Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They're going to try to take away their penetration. They're going to sag in on them when they do get into the lane. And so those shots are going to be there. And I think that was apparent, especially in a game that Houston won the other night against Milwaukee. P.J. Tucker had a bunch of wide-open shots. I thought the Rockets played very well otherwise. But P.J. needs to knock those down, guys. I think at least in the mid-30s to 40, somewhere in that range would be ideal percent range from three. Because, as you know, those shots are going to be there, and Harden and Westbrook are going to draw all the attention, so they need Tucker and the other role players for Houston to knock down those shots to keep advancing in the Western Conference playoffs.
Right. Well, the way I'm looking at this right now, the Rockets are sitting in the four seed in the West, and there's movement either way. Looks like up to the three seed, or even down to possibly the six seed, maybe. With a few games left, of the opponents that you see the Rockets could possibly match up against. I know we're shooting in the wind here, man, but what would be the best first round matchup in your opinion for the Rockets?
The Utah Jazz.
Yes.
And here's why. It's the third year in a row, or would be the third year in a row, as you guys know, that Houston and Utah played in the playoffs. The difference this year, guys, is Utah does not have their sharpshooter, Bojan Bogdanovic. He's a 20-point-a-game scorer. He made the team a lot better offensively this year. He is out with surgery. He had surgery on his elbow, so he's out for the remainder of the playoffs. Also, the fit hasn't been great in Utah with Mike Conley. Conley's a very good two-way player, but just hasn't clicked with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert the way they hoped he would in Salt Lake. So I think of the teams in that mix, kind of the solid playoff teams in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference, I like the way the Rockets and Nuggets are playing. I think OKC is going to be pretty good once they get Dennis Schroeder back in the lineup as well. So the team, you know, I'd have my eye on the matchup I'd have circled, if Houston can control it at all, is to try to get that first-round matchup against the Utah Jazz, who I think are the weakest team in that mix.
See, I wondered about that. Ryan McDonough, our Radio.com sports insider, is with us. See, that the Gobert size is something that would really make me wonder with the Rockets. But I really think that the team that they would be most up for to have extra two is Oklahoma City with the Chris Paul factor. And like I would like, that's the one that I feel like the Rockets would be really juiced to play in, and you may get to see them at their best. But you think they're a better basketball team than Utah?
I do, because of their multiple ball handlers. And also, I think OKC has a guy now that your listeners in the Houston area know very well, and Chris Paul, who's been the best closer in the league this year, guys. What Chris Paul did individually and what the OKC Thunder did as a team in close games down the stretch was phenomenal. Chris Paul was the leading clutch scorer in the NBA this year. The Thunder were the best clutch team in the NBA this year. So, you know, as you guys know, the playoff games are usually close. They're possession by possession a lot of times down the stretch. And so personally, I'd rather play a team that struggles to some extent in those scenarios, like Utah, especially, guys, with Utah's defense slipping this year. I think that's the difference as the Rockets fans look at the potential matchups. The Jazz were a top two or three defensive team in the league the past couple years when they had Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. They always able to have an elite-level rim protector on the court at all times. Now Favors is gone. He's in New Orleans, and Utah has slipped from the top three to 11th in defense this year. So I think the Jazz defensively weren't as good coming into the restart, and then without Bojan Bogdanović, they're not as good offensively. So that, personally, I'm not as high on Utah. I am a lot higher on OKC, which is why, as a Rockets fan, I'd rather see the Jazz in the first round instead of the Thunder.
Ryan, how about Eric Gordon? Obviously, one key part with the Rockets starting five. Definitely one of the key guards that's going to have to contribute if they got a legit shot to make a run. They got two games left, man. They got Indiana Wednesday night, and they got Philadelphia Friday night. Is that enough, in your experience as a GM and around the game, man, is that enough for a guy of Eric Gordon's build and how he plays the game? Is two games enough for him to come in and be ready to go for the playoffs, or do you think they'll have to keep doing some grooming early in the playoffs to get him right?
Yeah, it's not ideal. Obviously, you'd love to have more time than that. You know, obviously, what I don't know is what Eric Gordon's been able to do as far as individual workouts and team practices the Rockets have had in the bubble in Orlando. The good news, as you mentioned, is they have two games left after the Spurs game that they're currently losing against the Indiana Pacers on Wednesday and the Philadelphia 76ers on Friday. Those games don't mean a lot, as you guys know, for Houston, unless they are trying to manipulate the seed to some extent by winning or losing to get a more favorable first-round matchup. So I bring that up because I think Mike D'Antoni has at least one and maybe two games to tinker with Eric Gordon to try to get him back in rhythm. You know, I think what Houston doesn't want is to throw him out there in game one of the playoffs with a five-plus month layoff with the pandemic and the injury. So if they can get him back either on Wednesday or Friday, get him some rhythm. Keep in mind the teams will have the weekend off because there is going to be a play-in scenario in the Western Conference for the eighth seed, and it's not going to involve the Houston Rockets since they've already clinched. So I think getting Gordon some run some point later this week would be a good thing, and then hopefully he's able to get the rest of the individual work in, either in individual workouts or team practices, and be relatively ready to go when the playoffs start next week.
Ryan McDonough here with us, our Radio.com Sports Insider. I'm curious from you to this, because they had the three MVP finalists, LeBron, Giannis, and then James Harden. A lot of people argued Luka, who had a sensational season, especially how young he is. I'll be honest, I think Luka should have been in there instead of Harden. I know I'm probably ticking off some of our listeners, but I think Luka should have been in there ahead of Harden, not because Harden hadn't had an amazing year. I'd argue that I'm not sure he's the most valuable guy on his own team. It feels like to me that once they started to move to the small ball, that Russ, his impact and input seemed to take over the team more. They seemed to play a lot more aggressively and to play in his mode. Am I out of sorts in thinking that maybe Westbrook is more valuable to this team than Harden?
Well, I will say this. The game that's going on right now between the Spurs and Rockets isn't a great case to back up your point.
It is.
With San Antonio up 20-plus points at the moment. But, no, I understand what you're saying. I mean, Westbrook has had a huge impact, especially after the trade with Atlanta sending Clint Capella out and bringing Robert Covington in. As you guys know, the Rockets doubled down on small ball with now five shooters around the perimeter and no bigs to protect the basket. So it gives them a lot more shooting and floor spacing offensively. It hurts them as far as rim protection and then especially rebounding defensively. But it's really benefited Westbrook individually. I think that's when you started to see his game really take off and flourish. So I understand your point. I think I will have Harden third on my ballot ahead of Luka. The Rockets had a better team. I think that's in the future for Luka. He's an MVP finalist and probably an MVP winner, maybe multiple times. But for now, I think Houston had a better team and Harden had another phenomenal year, averaging close to 35 points a game.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We enjoy speaking with you each and every week. The playoffs are coming soon. I'm really excited about that. We can't wait to hear from you next week.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Always great to be on with you, too.
All right, that's Ryan McDonough, our radio.com sports insider, Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. I get it. You know, the Mavericks had a better or the Rockets had a better season than the Mavericks. Maybe that is the tiebreaker. But as we've talked about, we've had Kendrick Perkins on before. Man, Russ seems to have been the one that really changed this team around once they allowed him to kind of have the ball and lead things. It even seemed to change the mindset of Harden. That's to me why I think Russ may be more valuable than Harden to this team this year.
I think it's fair to say that Russ is the catalyst. I mean, Russ is a guy that really takes this team to the next level, gives them a different dynamic that would allow them to take the next step and really challenge the best teams in the game. But without Harden, there just ain't no way that they stand a chance.
And considering they're getting housed right now,
it's convenient for me to say that.
And the last two games with Harden and no Westbrook, I believe they've won them. So yeah, there is an argument there. Clint Sterner and the show with you. Remember, stay tuned with us. We have we'd be hearing from Will Fuller, Bradley Roby, and Titus Howard at some point as they are going to be speaking with the media out at NRG. We will carry that for you. Last night, man, Lance McCullers, he pitched a fantastic game last night. A fantastic performance. Had a no-no going into the seventh, and did exactly what we've been asking for him to do, bounce back after those two tough starts where he wasn't able to go more than four innings in his last two starts. But to me, Clint, it's not even what he did on the mound. It's not even at all what he did on the mound. It is what he did after the postgame. I was so disappointed in him last week when he decided to blame the roof being closed or being opened up that then led to him giving up eight runs to the sorry-ass Diamondbacks. But now, after yesterday's start against the Giants, when he came to the podium with this is what we want to hear from Lance McCullers.
You know, I don't really care about ERA or wins or any of that stuff. I'm trying to grow into a frontline guy. I'm trying to grow into someone who can take the ball every fifth day and, you know, give the team the best chance to win. That's what I care about. And tonight I did that, so I'm happy.
That's so much better than from last week, man.
In a week span, Lance McCullers showed all you young fellas out there how not to handle adversity. And then the next week he quickly showed you how to handle success. You do not handle adversity. You don't handle hard times by pointing at the roof, being open, fly balls, carrying the, because of COVID, I couldn't lick my fingers, so my grip on the baseball wasn't right. Nah, you gotta bite that bullet, the same way you do when good things come your way. And then he turns around and has a great outing, and he doesn't gloat. He doesn't refer back to what wasn't, present this week, you know, the bad elements the week before. He just simply says, look, man, I'm just trying to become a piece to this baseball team that they can depend on and put them in a place to win games. That's how you do it, Lance McCullers. That is precisely how you become a main, you know, top starter in this league.
Frontline guy,
that's
like
it.
He
Frontline
said.
Frontline guy, that's
like
it.
Like he said, man, that was big. Lance McCullers, not just a great performance on the mound, but even bigger for the position that we've said he needs to. It's not fair, but it's reality for this team. He needs to really own. These are the starts that you need from Lance, man. Before Josh James got into the game, and we'll get to his ass later. Before he got into the game and made this thing real interesting, I saw Sean couldn't go to sleep last night to get ready for work today. By the way, Sean will be with us at 5:15 as he's live in the bubble with us, getting access that nobody else can, no other station can here in Houston. But that's what you need to see and hear from him. And I'm convinced, Clint, somebody got to Lance McCullers. Somebody had a conversation with Lance McCullers. I don't know. Maybe it was Justin Verlander. Maybe it was his dad. Or maybe Lance has a mom like me and you have, that it would have been that would have been his mom. Because I'm just saying, could you imagine, like, your nephew? I know you're really close with your nephew, kind of a father figure for him. If in 20 years he was pitching and then just got blasted in an inning and came out and said, well, you know, that opened up that roof, that was ass. I know the Clint Sterner I know is going to have a conversation with him.
His little ass would probably screen my call, but I damn sure call him. Yeah, look.
He's going to call a payphone to get to
him. All BS aside, show that it's highly likely that somebody in his life, I would hope that it's Verlander. I would hope that him and Justin Verlander have that kind of relationship. Obviously, Lance McCullers has a solid head on his shoulders, and he's around Verlander, and you would think would put him in position to learn as often as he possibly could from one of the greatest in the game and a future Hall of Famer. And so I would like to think that Verlander grabbed him and said, hey, man, you can't. Even if that's the way you feel and that's the way we feel, that's what we know, is that the elements affected you negatively, you can't take that to the post-game presser. That's I don't know who it was. I would like to think that it was Verlander, but either way, clearly he changed his song and dance because he did a hell of a job the way he addressed the media after last night.
No, it was fantastic, and I was.
It's easy to address that media after you throw four touchdowns and
300 yards.
Away.
Yeah. I think we won't see him
struggle like that. God, I hope not.
Well, no, I'm not gonna say. I ain't gonna say that. Listen, this season with the Astros. Anything can happen. Because Jose Altuve is still
this
looking
season,
as lost as hell.
Golly,
up at
that
the plate.
Boy, that was tough.
Do you know how
night.
Bad it is for Jose Altuve? And I'm not even an Astros fan. Clint, when he got the one hit he got, I'm like, yeah! I'm like, oh, God, this is a
You just want the kid to do well,
this
don't
is
you?
A former MVP. And I didn't lost it on here about Jose Altuve getting a damn single.
Yeah,
that should have been an error, to be honest with you. A single that should have been an error, but he got some home cooking with the score. Anything can happen.
Look, I know there's some right now with Springer out and Yordan Alvarez not in Houston yet. He's taking some live BP today, by the way, down in Corpus is what the word on the street is. So keep your fingers crossed, baby. Help is coming. If Springer earlier in this season, when we were talking, he was 1-for-23. If he were lost and frustrated and in his way mentally so much that he needed a day off, Altuve needs a day off, man.
Yes,
but that last swing last night, I thought, come on, man.
That was the picture of defeated. Like if you
no
could
question.
The photo of just like. He wanted to toss all.
He had his
off.
Helmet, his batting gloves, and the bat were on the ground before the catcher got out of the hole. To head to the dugout. I mean, it was the last out of the inning. It was all on the ground. He knew when he started that swing, he didn't have a chance in hell of making contact, and he just immediately put everything on the ground. He is frustrated as all get out, and I don't think it has anything to do with the scandal, but I'm starting to hear rumbles of. Well, what'd you expect? He doesn't have a buzzer. He doesn't know what pitch is coming. So he's struggling to the point where people are going to start. It's going to start. The roar is going to come
started,
back.
But.
But it's going to turn into a roar eventually. Well, of course he can't hit. Of course he's struggling. He doesn't know what pitch is coming. It's one thing to hear that was my man yesterday, Dallas.
Dally.
Who?
Dally Braden.
Oh, Dallas Braden. Yeah. Dally. It's one thing to have him, and he was tongue-in-cheeking it out. But, I mean, in reality, when that social media mob takes on, it's going to get real loud on every TV station if he doesn't pick it up.
We'll see about that. Yeah. Yeah, Lance big last night, but Jose still struggling like hell. All right, the stories that Houston needs to know, the big three at three coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.